mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, are you and your significant other on the same page when it comes to financial goals and retirement plans? Most couples believe they are, but a new survey may paint a different picture. Also this morning, today's Throwback Thursday segment, schools, hospitals, even public officials from both sides of the political aisle have all been targets. What more can law enforcement do to combat the growing problem of swatting? And happening around town, put on your best hat and pour a mint julep or two. The Flag City Morning Rotary's Kentucky Derby Gala is back. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, April 18th, 2024. So already a couple of really weird things have happened to me this morning. The battery in my wireless mouse died. Have you ever had that happen? I mean, that's like a panic moment because I had no idea. I thought my computer crashed. I was thinking, how am I going to restart? You know, I got to do a hard restart on my computer and all of this. What's going on? This thing is all messed up now. And it turned out it was just the battery, my wireless mouse, was dead. And you don't even think about those sorts of things because they last so long that was, you know, I almost panicked. And then I realized, wait a minute, maybe the battery's dead here. So that was, it was just weird. Those things last so long that you almost forget that there's a battery in the wireless mouse. Now, thank goodness I remembered that before I restarted the computer and still had a problem and, you know, started throwing things around the around the room. And then I get a notification on my phone that I got a direct deposit into my checking account. And it was for a very odd amount that I didn't recognize. And I thought, what in the world is going on? Not that I'm complaining about a random direct deposit into my checking account, but I thought, well, if this is an error, something's going to happen. I have no idea what in the world is going on. Turned out it was my tax refund, which I had just not even thought about. I didn't recognize the amount and anything like that. Has that ever happened to you? You get some random deposit into your account and, yeah, you have to figure out where it came from. And it turns out, oh, yeah, it's my tax refund. Actually, it was quicker than I filed last week. I didn't wait until the deadline, but I filed last week and actually happened much quicker than I expected. And I just didn't know off the top of my head what it was. So that's actually a nice way to start the day. So anyway, I'm not sure how this day will go, but already two weird and unusual things have happened to me today. So who knows what might happen next. Just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Storms yesterday. We did not get the most serious of the weather, but once again, it didn't miss us by much. Authorities reporting widespread storm damage in Crawford County in and around Bucyrus. Police department there posted on social media yesterday afternoon, warning people of downed trees and power lines all around the community. Images shared by folks in Crawford County show homes and businesses with roofs torn off, debris from buildings spread around neighborhoods. At least one house appears to be knocked off its foundation. No injuries reported, so that's good. The National Weather Service is looking into it. So far, they are categorizing the damage as thunderstorm wind damage, straight-line wind damage, not tornado damage, but additional information will likely be released later today or in the coming days. So, you know, thoughts and prayers with those who are affected in Crawford County. But once again, it didn't miss us by much, the worst of it. Much calmer day today, and the next several days are going to be much calmer, but cooler. So hopefully you did not get too used to the 80-degree temperatures, as we said. Let's see, what else going on here? Among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, a new report from the Anti-Defamation League shows a significant increase in anti-Semitism in Ohio the past year. They noted 237 anti-Semitic incidents in the Buckeye State in 2023, as compared to only 61 reported the prior year. That is quite the jump. The Anti-Defamation League says the war between Israel and Hamas has contributed to tensions across the nation, with anti-Semitic incidents up 140% in the U.S. overall. Leaders with the organization Jewish Columbus say they are spending roughly $1 million each year to keep worship centers and other faith-based institutions safe. So, you know, just something to think about. Let's, no matter how you feel about the conflict between Israel and Hamas and the Palestinian situation and all of that, let's not take it out on our Jewish friends and neighbors, shall we? A couple of other items here among the first things you need to know. I thought this was kind of interesting. Story that broke yesterday. PepsiCo is recalling over 200 cases of Schweppes Zero Sugar Ginger Ale. The reason? It actually contains sugar. That seems like a big oops. If you're sending out cases of zero sugar drink that contains sugar, that's a problem. That is an oops. The ginger ale was packaged in 24-count cases of cans and shipped to West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Maryland. So not close, but not in our immediate area. The company said it began the recall last month after an internal investigation found the issue. So that is an embarrassing mistake, I would think, for PepsiCo. Let's see here. What else is going on? Uber is out with its annual Lost and Found Index, the annual list of things that have been discovered left behind by Uber drivers from their passengers. And this year's most unusual items left behind in Ubers include a painting from SeaWorld, kind of interesting, a ceramic cat, a prop rat skeleton, at least we hope it was a prop, spiders left behind. Who brings spiders in? I don't know the story behind that. And even a live turtle. So the Uber Lost and Found Index. More commonly left behind items: clothing, luggage, cameras, books, vaping devices. When it comes to food, Uber riders left behind expensive blueberries, it says here. Expensive blueberries, garlic butter, and a tray of meat pie. Where did I leave my tray of meat pie? That's what I wonder. Where did I? Oh, I think I left it in my Uber. One rare find that someone is sure to miss. Man, you talk about how would you like to have forgotten this in your Uber? A framed Taylor Swift autograph. Oh, my. I don't know what happens to these items that are left behind in Ubers, but how would you like to be the Uber driver who discovered that? A framed Taylor Swift autograph left behind in an Uber. Wow. So, you know, maybe, what do they sell them online? Or they turn them in somewhere? Can people claim them? Because I'm guessing somebody wants their Taylor Swift autograph back, I would think. And lastly this morning, among the first things you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Check this out. A woman in Michigan who won a $500,000 lottery prize said a tarot card reading predicted her good fortune. A 59-year-old winner, name is not given in this story here on the Newswire, but she's 59 years old. She says, during my tarot reading, I was told money would be coming into my life very soon. Later that night, I scratched off my lotto tickets, and much to my surprise, I had won $500,000 on the 50 times wild time scratch-off ticket for the Michigan Lottery. She says she plans to spend the money on her car, take a cruise, and make some investments. And probably pay for more tarot card readings, I would think. I've never been much to Never been one to put much stock in those things, but, I mean, you can't argue with success, I suppose. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly to mostly sunny today, a high around 70. Showers possible tonight, a low in the mid-50s. Finley High School quarterback Ryan Montgomery has announced that he'll be playing college ball at the University of Georgia. He tells 24/7 Sports why he chose Georgia.
Obviously, they're the standard in college football now. You know, everybody's trying to be where they're at. Development is second to none at a place like Georgia.
Ryan's brother Luke is currently a lineman on the Ohio State football team. Get more on Ryan's decision to choose Georgia in the story on our website. The Ohio Department of Transportation held an informational meeting in Finley about the diverging diamond interchange they have planned for the Interstate 75 County Road 99 interchange overhaul in Finley. ODOT engineer Dan Neese explains why they chose a diverging diamond interchange for that area.
Capacity. I mean, we'll be able to move so much more traffic through this intersection, not only safer, but faster.
I know there's a lot of semis, too, in that
Lots
area.
Of traffic. We're out there this morning. You can see it backing up down all the ramps. It'll be moving much better once we get the interchange fully functioning.
Get more of our conversation with Dan about the new interchange and watch a video about how you go through one in this story on our website. State lawmakers are working on various bills intended to provide Ohioans with more affordable housing.
Anyone looking to buy or rent right now knows just how high the costs are. Affordable housing has been a big topic at the State House, and this week we're getting some possible solutions.
For months, members of the Senate Select Committee on Housing have been traveling the state, hearing testimony, and working to find solutions to the housing crisis, putting together an array of bills.
ONN's Doug Petcash reporting. The Hancock Historical Museum will be hosting an Earth Day celebration on Saturday. Guests will enjoy interactive games, eco-friendly crafts, and discover the connections between our planet and history. The first 50 families will receive a new children's book, and additional giveaways include pollinator seed packets and tree saplings while supplies last. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, are you and your spouse on the same page when it comes to your retirement plans and goals? According to a new survey from Ameriprise Financial, 93% of couples say that they share the same or similar goals, and 95% overwhelmingly trust their significant other when it comes to money matters. But tension may be bubbling just under the surface. Marcy Keckler is Ameriprise Senior Vice President of Financial Advice Strategy. So let's start with the good news from this survey. Marcy, where do couples most agree financially?
It's a great question. And one thing that we know, all of us who are in relationships or have been in relationships, is that a lot happens at the intersection of love and money. And so at Ameriprise, we wanted to understand more about that. We talked to 1,500 couples, and we talked to both members of the couple. So we kind of got the full picture. And as you said, these couples overwhelmingly said they trust each other. 95% said they do trust their partner, which is a great, strong foundation to build on. And they do have common vision of their goals for retirement and what they want that retirement to look like together, including thinking about when they're going to retire. So some real strengths, but as you also alluded to, they don't necessarily yet agree about everything.
Yeah.
And about 1 in 4 couples said they've got some areas of disagreement. Big stuff that causes disagreement among couples are things like how much money they should save for retirement, how much money they should either give to or spend on children and grandchildren, and then finally, how much they should spend on some of the fun stuff, things like travel or hobbies. And so even if they have big picture goals that they agree on, they still have some details they can work through together.
Yeah, where are the couples most likely to disagree with their spouse or significant other? And there are clearly some areas of concern there. You also find in the survey that a not insignificant number of people admit that they still avoid discussing key financial matters. Which
yes.
Can kind of amplify that. What are some of the topics that these couples are avoiding?
Well, one of the things we see in this research is that some of the things couples haven't gotten around to yet or might be avoiding are things that have some emotion attached to it. And over half, 52% of couples, have not yet tackled something that has that emotional connection, and that's completing their estate plan. Sometimes when people hear estate plan, they might think that is for people with tremendous wealth. And I would say that is a myth. The truth is we all need an estate plan. Everybody needs a will. Everybody needs to make decisions about and then have documents that identify things they want done if they have a serious health situation, if they're in an incapacitated state and they can't make decisions on their own health care. Who do you want to do that and what do you want done? So those are examples of things that would be part of an estate plan, important for all of us to do. And I know from my experience that people feel a tremendous sense of relief when they tackle that important thing. And it's a great gift to your family to have an estate plan nailed down so they don't have to scramble in a time that might be stressful at some point in the future.
Yeah, not only do people avoid it because they think maybe it doesn't apply to them, as you were alluding to, but they also, I mean, it's, you know, it means confronting one's own mortality. And sometimes we think, oh, we don't have to worry about that until we get older, but you never know.
You never know. And I would say when there are areas that are challenging to work through, one of the things couples can consider is that working with an experienced estate planning attorney and a financial advisor together, they can help you put all your pieces together. And they have done this before. They have seen all kinds of sticky situations and they've helped other couples and families work through them. And so they can bring that experience and wisdom to help you and your partner work through things. If there are things that are challenging, as you said, as you think about, you know, challenging situations in the future that although we don't maybe want them to happen, we know they're going to happen eventually.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. I'm thinking, you know, even though there's this overwhelming level of trust, or at least people say they have this overwhelming level of trust in their partner, they still avoid the discussion, which probably underscores just how reluctant we are to broach the subject, even with those we trust most, when, you know, respect to some financial issues. So how do couples conquer that discomfort and actually start these discussions? Because I guess we can say that 93% of people think they are on the same page with their spouse, but until you really have that dialogue, that's kind of more of an assumption than anything else, isn't it?
Absolutely. And one of the things we did ask about in this study was how many of the couples are working with some sort of a financial advisor as a professional to help. And not everybody, but a lot. 59% of couples said they are working with a financial advisor. And those couples agreed, 97% of them, almost all of them said that that experience that they're having with that financial advisor has improved their financial well-being. And so that has made a difference for a lot of couples. The couples who have that kind of neutral third party, that expert in their corner, are people who say they're more likely to agree that they're transparent and honest with their couple. They say they're more confident about their ability to make their money last. So for people who haven't gotten started, they might want to consider engaging a financial professional. Even if they feel pretty good about the planning they've done on their own, they might benefit from a second opinion and even some just new ideas they haven't thought of, because those financial advisor professionals, they've worked with lots and lots of people. They've helped dozens or hundreds of people retire already. So they know what that road might look like, and they can give you some new ideas and fresh perspective.
What are the other takeaways here? Anything else that kind of stood out for you in this survey, things that you hope couples will take away from this?
Two things. One, I would say a big lesson learned is that many of the people in our study who'd already retired did not get to control when they retired. 17% of them who'd already retired said they had to retire because of a health situation, either their own or a loved one who they wanted to care for. And others said they had to retire for unexpected developments at work, whether that was their job was not going to exist anymore, they were getting laid off, or they maybe even got an attractive early retirement package that they thought, I'm taking it, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
But they weren't necessarily in control of their retirement date. And so I think it's important for people to stay flexible and think about how you'd handle unexpected events. And then the other takeaway from this study that I think people can learn from is most of the people we talked to who had not yet retired assumed they and their spouse or partner would retire together at the same time. And in reality, 2/3 of couples who've already retired they retired more than a year apart. So it isn't necessarily going to be a single event that you both experience together, but rather a journey and a process that unfolds in a series of phases.
I am kind of curious about this as someone with experience in this field. Obviously, we always say it's never too early to start planning for retirement. And we also point out that it's never too late, regardless of how much time you have. It's always good to, do some planning. But what is the sweet spot? What is the ideal when somebody walks into your office? At what age you're saying that this is perfect?
I would say every age. I, as the parent of two young children in their early 20s, there is financial advice that is making a huge difference in their life, even as they are just starting on their financial journeys. And the impact, for example, of somebody in their early 20s who starts saving even just a little in their, say, retirement plan at work, and they get a match from their employer in that retirement plan, the tremendous power of that over the course of their life. All the way through going through end-of-life issues with my own mom recently and knowing the advice that made a difference at the end of her life as she was planning for how things were going to unfold and how her estate plan would be executed. And all along the way, there is important financial advice that can change people's lives, and financial advisors can really help tailor the advice to the life stage of anybody and give them the right advice based on where they're at on their journey, including how much wealth they've accumulated so far and what their goals are ahead.
Marcy Keckler, again, is Ameriprise Senior Vice President of Financial Advice Strategy. Where do folks learn more about this survey and kind of peruse some of the results, maybe as some conversation or thought starters here?
Yeah, we've got great resources, especially for couples, on how they can have harmony in their financial lives together at Ameriprise.com/couples.
So now our Throwback Thursday segment this morning. This is one of those problems that makes national headlines, and just this week we saw it once again here locally as well. Swatting. Those fake calls to 911 about dangerous crimes or situations that force police to respond with significant force to a threat that's not really happening. And you know the story at Findlay High School earlier this week. And this is still happening, even though earlier this year, Governor DeWine signed a bill to make swatting a felony in Ohio. This increasing trend, officials warn, is putting the lives of both victims and law enforcement in danger. Dr. Curry Myers is a retired sheriff with 35 years of experience in law enforcement and a PhD in criminal justice, who joined us on the program back in January. It is today's Throwback Thursday. Why has this become such a problem? I mean, what is the end game for the swatters here?
Well, it's part of the dark psychological traits that social media is spawning. Unfortunately, when you don't have a carrot and stick criminal justice system in place to deal with these, then it can easily get out of control. So I would say that this is a significant moral issue when people actually send law enforcement and emergency services because there's so many things that could happen and go wrong. It's not funny. It's not like calling up and say, hey, your refrigerator's running.
Right.
Old day jokes and things like that. These are serious issues in which, number one, can cost a lot of money to have resources go to these locations. But number two, somebody could get shot and killed and injured.
Right.
As a result of these things. So they're significant. But I think the rise of social media in particular, and I've written about this on my Substack, which is drcurrymyers.substack.com. It's called The Advent of Feral Man. And the lack of faith, family, and formation in many ways have been the new causal reason why crime has occurred. And the use of social media within the last 10 years really is really having an impact on the dark psychological traits on people. It kind of brings out the worst in people.
Yeah.
And we see it in social media because I'm sure, you and I we get it too. I mean, people could attack us and they feel emboldened because they're almost, they're anonymous. And there isn't any, you know, again, there isn't any way to track these folks down. It started with doxing, which, as you probably know, doxing is when you release public information out about individuals. Mm-hmm. It could be addresses, it could be anything. And it's kind of morphed into this swatting. And again, it's, you know, when you're reporting somebody suicidal or homicidal, or you have a mass shooting, law enforcement, when they take those 911 calls, they have to take them seriously and send resources.
That was what I was going to bring up too. I mean, you point out the fear that someone is going to get killed in responding to a call that law enforcement believes to be real, but isn't. Isn't there also the risk that a response to an actual incident could be delayed or handled improperly because first responders become conditioned to not believing it to be real when it actually is?
Yeah, those are the unintended consequences. It's a great point that you bring out. This is the cause and effect of you know, if somebody cries wolf too often, then law enforcement's going to say, is this really a call?
Right.
We've seen that with burglary calls. Burglary alarms have become the first thing law enforcement thinks when they hear a burglary alarm call is that it's not really a burglary, that the alarm has just been set off. And that happens all the time. We got to the point where actually cities have to charge people for burglary calls that aren't really burglaries.
Yeah.
There's going to be law enforcement that's going to deal with this. There are some things that we can do, but it's very difficult to investigate these matters because a lot of times when people call in, they can be anonymous.
Right. And you point out that this takes so many different forms. Could be bomb threats, could be false reports of active shooters. It could be any number of things, many different forms. And just as you were mentioning, you say that we really need to crack down both at the state and federal level. Ohio has already made the crime of swatting a felony, which ironically triggered swatting incidents towards some lawmakers. What more can the state do?
Well, I think the first step is that we as consumers have to take preventive measures on ensuring that we don't get some information. We have to really watch what we put out on the internet, on any kind of open source information. We have to be careful how much we put out, addresses, physical addresses, IPO information that can be found is all valuable data that can be compromised and used to give out information to help reinforce. There's also, you need to pay attention to people who may not initially call a SWAT, but they may be phishing for you and trying to get information. So calling your office and say, hey, is Charles there? When is he going to be there? Well, he's at home. Well, this is such and such. Can you give me his number so I can call him? And believe it or not, there's people that give this information out sometimes.
Yeah. Well,
in businesses.
Yeah, we think of protecting that information in the sense of protecting ourselves from financial scams, but this could be the end game that somebody is after in that respect. You know, you mentioned the challenge of investigating and enforcement of laws against this sort of thing. State enforcement becomes more complicated because these things don't always originate locally. In fact, more often than not, they don't. So isn't it really more we need stronger enforcement, stronger laws, stronger measures at the federal level to deal with this?
Well, even the federal level is difficult. I mean, you know, earlier in the month, I believe you had somewhere close to like 50 Ohio public schools reported on social media that they had victims of Max Hoax threats that have come from Russian terrorist organizations. If I believe that to be true. A lot of these times, you know, we have to remember that the great seas that separate us are no longer that great. And the use of technology means that, and I'm very concerned with the lack of border enforcement that we have. In my opinion, there's no doubt that we have Chinese soldiers that are embedded in the United States. We have Hamas soldiers. I don't really want to call them soldiers because they're not. Middle Eastern terrorists that are embedded into the United States, and the best way to take law enforcement resources is to do this kind of work. It also increases terror. So in many ways, this is domestic terrorism. And law enforcement has to, the last thing that we do right now is defund police. We actually need to increase funding. We need to increase training and capability, and we need to embrace evidence-based policing. The federal government really is not large enough. There's not enough FBI agents to investigate all these matters, especially when you have, they probably can't investigate all the ones that occurred just in Ohio, it sounds like, because it's so bad.
Yeah.
So law enforcement has to, we have to rethink what we do. And that means that we need more funding and more training to actually take on some of those responsibilities and be able to investigate these things better. I think also law enforcement has to do better vetting, intel gathering, and verification before a SWAT team is called out and implemented, which, to your point, that could slow down the the matter some. But we almost have to verify these things before we send resources out. And that's something else to consider. I think that's why it's important. If you think as an individual that you've been targeted, a lot of times they're going to ask for money ahead of time, or you've said something and there's going to be a lot of chatter on social media, I would suggest that you would call your local police department and say, hey, I've had some threats. I've had some people on social media say some things. There's two things that could occur. I could be doxxed or I could be swatted. Mm-hmm. So I'm letting you know, because I live in your area, that this could be a problem. And I think that is something that we could do. But the other thing is prosecutors, as you know, we've had some prosecutors that have not done a good job in charging people throughout the United States. Usually it's in the urban sectors. And so we need to get back to kind of good old fashioned law enforcement and have a carrot and stick approach that is appropriate. And then legislatures across the country need to ensure that they're specifically dealing with this type of crime. It needs to be a high-level felony and significant prison sentences, because it really is domestic terrorism.
Again, earlier this year, as we mentioned, the state legislature passed and Governor DeWine signed a bill to make swatting a felony. That is our conversation with Dr. Curry Myers, retired sheriff with 35 years of experience in law enforcement and a PhD in criminal justice, from January of this year, talking about combating the difficult issue of swatting. It is today's Throwback Thursday segment. You can learn more, by the way, at our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oaks on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Now, this is not the way that you want to start your day. A Nebraska man is accused of shooting himself in the hand after waking up from a bad dream. That's a rough way to start the day right there. Police say the 68-year-old told them he woke up and thought someone was breaking into his home, so he grabbed his gun and fired without realizing that his hand was in the line of fire. I'm not sure exactly. I'm having trouble picturing this, but his hand was somehow in the line of fire, so he shot himself in the hand. By the way, no word on whether there was actually someone breaking into his home. I think it was just a bad dream. He was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, but he is facing a charge of unlawful discharge of a gun. Yeah, that's a bad way to start the day. That's how you know you're having a bad day. If you have not shot yourself in the hand first thing in the morning, then you know that your day is not as bad as it could be. Could always be worse, you know? Elsewhere in the broken news, this from Indiana, where Sarah Harris is reportedly in custody facing a narcotics charge after she allegedly called the police to report she got a bad batch of meth. She called police to let them know to complain that she got a bad batch of meth. Ms. Harris called 911 twice to complain about the person who sold her drugs. She claimed that she had smoked normal meth before snorting some of the newer batch, and she demanded police test the suspected bad batch. She even handed over, naturally, the cops responded to the call, and she reportedly even handed over the narcotics in question to the cops when they showed up at her house. Shocker, she was taken into custody. She now faces charges of possession. Probably still wondering, how in the world did that happen? Let's see. Elsewhere in the broken news this morning, not all of the dumb things happen in this country. A Brazilian woman is in trouble with the law after she allegedly rolled in a man's dead body into the bank to get him to co-sign a loan. Erica de Souza Nunez can be spotted on security video standing next to the deceased, who was seated in a wheelchair. She appears to hold up his head and asks him to sign financial documents for a loan for her. A bank worker pointed out that the man's skin color looked a little off. Police were called, and that was when it was discovered that the man in the wheelchair had actually been deceased for several hours. Ms. Nunez was arrested and could face charges relating to theft by means of fraud and abuse of a corpse. We wheeled a dead guy into the bank as the co-signer of her loan. What could possibly go wrong with that plan? That sounds like something that you would expect to hear about in Florida, but no, it's actually in Brazil. We do have a story out of Florida, because it seems like no day is complete without something dumb happening in the Sunshine State. A Florida boat tour had to be cut short on Friday after the captain hired to pilot the boat came to work drunk and fell overboard. The captain fell overboard. Employees on the boat, which had 30 guests on board at the time, told police that John Edward Beckwith, age 53, arrived at work stumbling and had food all over his face. Authorities in Clearwater, with the Clearwater Police Department, say Mr. Beckwith, whose breath smelled like alcohol, was unbalanced and had bloodshot eyes. He failed a sobriety test. His blood alcohol limit was more than double, or close to double, the legal limit for boating. He now faces a DUI charge, not his first. He has prior convictions in Arizona and in Michigan, according to the police. Probably cutting short his career as a boat tour captain, I would imagine. Showed up drunk and fell overboard. That's a clue that something is off. And finally, in the broken news this morning, while some may snark that beauty pageant contestants may look artificial compared to regular people, a new competition is deliberately seeking the most beautiful fake beauties in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss AI. The World Artificial Intelligence Creator Awards says it is a first-of-its-kind global program of awards dedicated to recognizing the achievement of AI creators around the world. Part of this celebration is the Miss AI contest, where traditional beauty pageantry is crossing into the world of AI. Organizers say contestants will be judged on their beauty, tech, and clout for the chance to earn the crown of Miss Artificial Intelligence. To that end, the top three winning Miss AI contestants will be awarded prizes totaling over $20,000, including a $5,000 cash prize to the winner, plus AI mentorship programs, PR services, and more, courtesy of a partner with the World AI Creator Awards, FanView. The judges, who are actually real-life human beings, include beauty pageant historian and author Sally Ann Fawcett. The judges will be choosing the winner on three metrics: beauty, tech, and social clout. Contestants will be judged on some of the classic aspects of pageantry, including their beauty, poise, and their unique answers to a series of questions. For the beauty category, tech will see creators earning points for their skill and implementation of AI tools used to create their digital masterpieces, using including use of prompts and their output and visual detailing around the hands, eyes, and backgrounds. Points are earned based on each contestant's engagement numbers with fans, rate of growth of audience, and how utilization of other platforms and utilization of other platforms such as Instagram. They're actually crowning a Miss AI. They're a beauty pageant for the creators of fake women. Now I've seen it all. I just don't know what to say to something like that. I don't know when this pageant will be held. It doesn't say, but I eagerly await the results. We'll follow up. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
This is Ed Glentz with OSU Extension. It's planting season. Drivers will be sharing roads with tractors and farm machinery. Be alert for slow-moving vehicles, especially on roads with limited visibility. Watch out for equipment pulling in and out of fields. Drivers and farmers, let's work together this spring to keep our roads safe and accident-free.
This message from WFIN and 95.5 FM.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. It's springtime. This is typically wedding season. We're getting into that time of the year. And a new survey finds that more people actually get cold feet before their wedding than you might think. Americans, 2,000 Americans who got married over the past 3 years, between 2021 and 2024, and 20%, it turns out, one in five recently married Americans confess that they nearly skipped out on their own wedding, nearly called it off at the last second. 20%. Wow. Maybe it's the cost. 20% of those who got married said they spent more than $30,000 on their wedding. 52%, though, said they spent less than $10,000 on their wedding, and that leaves 28% that spent somewhere in the middle. And that's a big expense, whether it's 10 grand or 30 grand. Of those who paid for their own wedding, 69% used cash, 2% took out a wedding loan. The most common regret for new couples was the scheduling. 19% said that they were too rushed and didn't have enough time to do everything they wanted before tying the knot. Also high on the list of regrets, the guest list. 17% say they wish they had done a better job at selecting who they invited to their wedding. And I thought this was kind of interesting. Fewer engaged couples these days are holding the traditional bachelor or bachelorette parties. That's falling out of favor. 42% of those in the survey said that they would favor spending that money on the honeymoon instead of the pre-wedding parties. So, happening around town, it is time to put on your best hat and pour a mint julep or two. The Flag City Morning Rotary's Kentucky Derby Gala is back. Jeff Rachel and Patrick Cavillinger with us in the studio this morning with all of the details. Back to my old Kentucky home. I always get that and the back home again in Indiana. Thing for the
Indy 500 Kentucky things. Derby, right.
Yeah, yeah. I get those two songs confused, so I think at the end of my old Kentucky home. You actually do the hats and the mint juleps and everything.
Yes, this is actually the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby itself. Right. So this is going to be a big event for Kentucky, for the Derby race and everything like that. And we're happy to just kind of tag along with it anyway and do the Kentucky Derby Gala. It's Saturday, May the 4th at the Hilton Garden Inn from 6 to 9. All benefits and proceeds, we do have to mention this, we pick a charity every year, and all benefits and proceeds of this event are going to go to the Women's Resource Center of Hancock County.
Okay.
We try to spread the money around and pick a different non-profit every year. And this year, the club was very happy to have a presentation from the Women's Resource Center.
I was going to ask how you chose, how you choose the charity that will benefit.
We have speakers every Wednesday morning at 7:30. We have speakers that come in, and then we take those speakers and we do. This is our one time a year major fundraising event, and we take the. Those speakers, and the club just kind of says, okay, who do we want to support? How can we support?
Yeah.
What are they doing? What projects do they have? Well, how can we help? So that's how we came up with it.
And so this event, again, like we said, you go all out on this thing here.
It is on May the 4th. So in case there's any people interested in Star Wars, we could always accept, the bow ties, the hats.
Maybe
if you're into a Jedi theme.
Maybe you can do a combination of both.
Right, a Jedi, Derby, Kentucky thing. Right, yeah, right.
Could get some very strange hats.
Yes.
Some of the big hats. But in seeing the pictures of the past events, which you have on the website, people kind of go all out.
There's actually going to be a photo booth there this year, I think, from Keepsake Portraits.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be in its own room. So a lot of people do that, keep memories. I know my wife still has a couple of us, year after year, we keep going to this, different hats and different bow ties and stuff.
Yeah, the hats are always crazy. The hats get, ladies get very creative with those hats. So, and there is going to be a prize for best hat and best bow tie.
Okay.
Ensemble. Tickets are $75, or we can get a table for eight for $600 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
One item that we have several live auction items. Thirsty's Thursday, the pedal bar that see downtown. They've donated a spot for us, so we've got a live auction item. You're going to be able to either walk home with this that evening in a car or truck.
a lot of different items.
Okay.
We've got AgPro here in Findlay that's donated a John Deere fire pit and outdoor or Adirondack chairs for us. But Patrick with Witta Construction has something I've never seen before at any non-for-profit event ever.
Okay.
Patrick is going to do the Great Driveway Giveaway. So, Patrick,
Away. We're going to be auctioning off a driveway. So we at Witta Construction, we have the same values as Rotary, kind of what goes around comes around, do the right things, karma, if you will. And that's what Rotary is all about, is making sure we're taking care of each other, taking care of our community. That's why we're giving back. And in that spirit, as a general contractor, Witta Construction, I'm thinking, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do excavation, we do concrete, we do steel. How does this apply to Rotary?
Okay.
And what would somebody, want to spend their money on? I'm thinking, well, don't most people need a new driveway? They need a patio.
I know, I knew one. I need a new driveway.
And I'm thinking, has anybody ever given away a driveway in Findlay? I don't know. Let's do it.
I've never seen it at an event before. Yeah. So
we're going to be auctioning off 500 square feet of exterior pavement. It's an estimated $10,000 value. So please bring your checkbooks. It includes all excavation, demolition, stone grading, form and pour the concrete, the rebar and concrete materials, including a broom finish. So we should leave you, with a brand new product that
awesome.
You can love and enjoy with your family. I mean, pick where it's at. You want a new, maybe you also get the John Deere fire pit from AgPro.
Well, that's perfect. What I was, right. Yeah,
you can have a brand new patio with a fire on it. All kinds of different options. We're flexible with it. I mean, depending on what your house is like, we're willing to work with you on what your needs are. But just all in, you know, good faith of promoting Findlay and our residents and our businesses. So trying to be a good member of society here. And that's what Rotary is all about.
While we are on that subject, talk a little bit about Flag City Morning Rotary.
We meet 7:30 every Wednesday morning. It's a breakfast meeting. We have good fellowship just with the other Rotarians that are in the club. We have about 40-50 regular attenders at the meeting, and we have a speaker every Wednesday. We always welcome different speakers in from the community, or we've even had from the county, or even from the state level. People in to talk about whatever they're doing.
So if you're into, you need to spread your word a little bit, whether an individual, a company, an organization, please get a hold of us. We'd like to hear from you. I believe there's a upcoming presentation come from the Hancock County Home Builders about some different things that are going on there. But it's about keeping ourselves and our businesses informed of the good things that are happening in Findlay.
And if somebody is interested in joining the Flag City Morning Rotary?
The applications are on the Flag City Morning Rotary website that we have. And it's just a simple application process. And then we meet with the individual, normally a luncheon or something like that, explain what the cores and the values are. And we welcome them into the club.
Very cool. And for the Kentucky Derby Gala, that's open to all?
All. Absolutely. Yes. The more the merrier. We normally event has 250 to 300 people at the event. We have all of the ballrooms at the Hilton Garden Inn and everything like that. John Whitson does a great job for us there. So happy to have anybody invited to it. I'm sure you guys post this on the website. The ticket information and everything else is down at the bottom.
Yeah. Again, we'll mention that it is happening on the 4th, Hilton Garden Inn. And again, tickets, how do you get tickets?
Tickets, Denise Thomas at Premier Bank, anyway, at the bottom of the pamphlet that we have here and everything. Her cell number is 419-306-6486. And we can just call and buy tickets. You'll be able to buy tickets there that evening. But yeah, we welcome
at the door. Terrific.
But absolutely, we welcome everybody to come and do it. We do have a live raffle. We'll do have silent auction items and everything like that throughout the nights. A couple of gaming events and everything like that.
Very cool.
But the biggest thing is the live viewing of the Kentucky Derby and some wagering on the Kentucky Derby using 50-50 money and tickets.
Okay.
So some wagering.
Very good.
Have to be very careful with that.
And, right, and plenty of mint and juleps.
Absolutely.
As well. So mention that. Yep. We'll have mint and juleps. We've got the link up at our webpage, goodmornings.net. You can find more about it there. Again, Jeff Rachel, Patrick Havillage, the Flag City Morning Rotary, and the Kentucky Derby Gala coming up here in just a couple of weeks for the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. Gentlemen, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the program at our webpage. We'd love for you to visit our little corner of the World Wide Web at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, a growing number of people say they are using AI tools to help them land a job. The same tools many companies are using to streamline the hiring process. How artificial intelligence is changing the employment game. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. Catch you back here tomorrow.